Ray Charles is an amazing man. Just really appreciate him. Now we're going to try this and see how long my internet holds out. It takes a long time to get it to reboot for whatever reason. I'm thinking it's in the system and not in my modem. So we'll find out, I guess, later this week. But in our scripture reading today, we saw the story of King David as he was being made king over all of Israel. 7.5 years he ruled Judah, but now he's been made king of all the 12 tribes. The story says that he prospered because God was with him. God was with David. He wanted David to rule the whole nation of Israel, not just one or two tribes. We know that not everything David did was right. Not everything decision he made was perfect, but he stayed close to God and represented or repented when he strayed too far away. And he always turned back to God because David put his faith in God and not in himself. He believed in God. He trusted him and he worshiped him. And that's where his strength came from. And he knew that. He was a strong, capable man on his own. He had talent. He had ability. But he knew where his real power came from. He never forgot that lesson. You know, others have mentioned in Scripture who were able to do many things on their own as well. They were talented people, capable people, people that were able to just develop themselves and to do a lot of things in their life. But we see today, I want to look at one person in the New Testament. I think it's a lot like David. It had a lot of that same characteristic. Very accomplished person in his own right. But once he came to know God, he realized that his true strength came from God, didn't come from himself. And God was able to use all those talents and abilities that man had to do a great work. And that man is the Apostle Paul. Paul was an amazing man. He could accomplish a whole lot just by his own personality, his own wisdom. Yet he didn't put his trust in himself. He looked to God for his true strength. And I want to use an example here that shows this very trait of Paul. He has a lot that he could brag about, that he could commend himself about. I think he's the greatest evangelist ever. On my trip, I was listening down south. If you get a Christian radio show, you get sermons and talks and things like that. Up here, you get more music. Now, down there, you get a lot of people. So I was listening to different preachers. And one man had grown up as a minister, knowing Billy Graham and spending a lot of time with him. And he said, this Billy Graham was the greatest evangelist that ever lived. And I thought, have you ever heard of the Apostle Paul? A tremendous evangelist of God. But Paul worked tirelessly for Jesus and the gospel message. Paul sacrificed as much as well. Just to give a little background, let's go back to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11 here, and we're going to start in verse 21, if I can find it here. In the first part of verse 21, to my shame, I meant that we were too weak for that. That refers back to the paragraph before. But now he starts at the end of this verse. He says, whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind talking like this. He said, I am more. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I've received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a day and a night in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from the rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in dangers from Gentiles, in dangers in the city, in danger in the country, at sea, and from false believers. I've labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst. I've often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? So Paul is saying in these verses that everything he's done for Christ and serving Jesus, very few people coming out could say the same things. And you have to get the context of what Paul's dealing with here in Corinth. He had people, Jews, coming out from Jerusalem, purporting to be from the original apostles that were in Jerusalem, the 12, and saying the original apostles disagreed with Paul, or they needed to add more because they were leaving stuff out. Now, they really weren't from the apostles, and the apostles were not teaching any gospel different than what Paul was teaching. Because they got together and compared notes, and they were preaching the same thing. And yet these people tried to persuade people, you know. And so all these people coming out, none of them, so Paul's saying they were putting Paul down. They were saying he wasn't worth very much. You know, you can't be paying attention to Paul. You can't be doing, you know, Paul's good as far as he goes. But we come with the original apostles into a Jerusalem, and they know the real stuff. And that's what they're saying. They know what's going on. They knew Jesus personally. It's Paul's okay, but he doesn't compare to the original because they lived right with Jesus. Well, that's the way they talked. That's the way they thought. But Paul shows everything he's done for God and serving Jesus. Very few people could come and say what Paul had just said about how he'd served the churches and what he had done. But in the account we're going to look at now, Paul has a lot more than that to boast about. I think he's done something here that no one else has done. Let's go to chapter 12, the next chapter in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. And we're going to start here in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 12, 1, it says, I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I would go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was called up to the third heaven, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know, but God knows. He says, I know that this man, verse 4, was called up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast, he says, about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weakness. So he said he's not going to be boasting about himself. He's going to be boasting about his weakness, and that's what he's going to be boasting about. Paul is talking about himself here. He puts it like, well, I know a man, all that, but there's no scholar I know of that doesn't think that Paul's talking about himself, that he was carried up in vision, or as he said, he doesn't know if it was a vision or literal. It was very real to him. And heard things that he said it's just impossible for anyone else to even know. But he is talking about all of this because he has to defend himself from those who would pervert the gospel. They were trying to add on the law of Moses. They were trying to add on all the circumcision and all these rules that Judaism kept. And they were trying to do all of this. And Paul says, look, they don't hold a candle to what I've done. Who are they to come and put me down? They don't even know. And he didn't want to do this, but he almost had to. Nobody else was doing it, so he had to defend himself. And he said he even had a vision of the third heaven, that he saw what was taking place there. So let's go back and we'll read starting in verse 6 here. He goes on to say, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than it's warranted by what I do or what I say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. But, you know, God told Paul here that his power is made perfect in weakness. But he said when he is weak, God's power rests on him. And I think that's such a powerful thought to think about. You know, Paul could boast more than just about any other apostle or evangelist or teacher. He'd had a vision where God took him right up to heaven and told him things that no one else had ever seen or heard. But he said all of that wasn't something that happened because of his own strength. It happened because of the power of Christ resting upon him. That was where his strength came from, the power of Christ resting upon him. He was a man of humility. Through all these things he went through, he stayed humble. And he said he had an affliction to help that process. And that's what took place. So, you know, when Christ's power is resting upon us, we can do great work for him as well. We are close to him. His love, his power is working through us. You know, when I say a great work, sometimes we think, well, do I have to be an evangelist and you go out and be beaten three times with cat of nine tails? No, that's not what he's talking about here. I think for all of us, with God's power resting on us, we can live the life we're supposed to live. And when people see that, then we can talk to people, we can do things. And I think that's important. If we are close to him and his love and his power, he'd be working through us because Christ is the power of Christ is resting upon us, just like it did Paul, just like it did, it can do any of us. Look in Mark, the sixth chapter. Mark chapter six, and we're going to go here to verse six, Mark six and verse six. It says, then when Jesus went around teaching from village to village, verse six is he was amazed at the lack of faith of the people that above there, he was in his own hometown and people didn't believe him. They said, we saw you grow up. We know who you are. We saw you running in the street, playing ball with the other boys. We saw you learning to be a carpenter. We saw you, your mothers, your brother, your sisters are here. So they didn't believe. And he says he was amazed at their lack of faith. But then he says Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two, he said. He gave them authority over impure spirits. But if we drop down to verse 12, here it says, they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons, anointed many sick people with oil, and healed them. And I think the concept here that the power of Jesus rested upon them. The power of Christ was resting upon his disciples. These were men, if you follow the story, that maybe had not yet received the Spirit. Who knows? Later, Jesus said he breathed on them that they should receive the Holy Spirit. And we know they received power at the time when the day of Pentecost. But here now they're talking about the apostles going out and doing a great work. His Spirit, his power was resting upon them. They were in his will. They were able to do what God wanted. You know, when we walk in the will of God and humbly follow him like Paul did, we can accomplish what God wants. You know, sometimes God moves people directly. They're overcome with a burning desire to help others. You know, there was a story about a man in Africa who was moved from his village to another place, long way away. He couldn't have access to the church that was there. And so he started reading his Bible. That's all, just reading the Bible. And then he asked his neighbor if he wanted to come read with him. And that person joined him. Then a few more people joined him. When the minister finally got around to getting over to visit him, they had 100 people reading the Bible together. Because I think the Spirit of God, Jesus, or of Christ, was resting upon him. He was doing something. He wanted to read the Bible, and he wanted other people to be able to read the Bible. There was no service, no music, no sermon, just reading. And yet 100 people had a heart to learn because of this one man being willing to do it. And I think that's, we sometimes, I forget what it is that God tries to do, you know, how great God is and what he can do. You know, other times when we pray, we need to ask God where he's already working and helping. Because I think GCI has been talking about that for quite a while, that we need to join God where he's already moving and doing things. What tended to happen in the past is we'd come up with a program and we'd say, boy, this is going to be a great thing, an idea, a concept, and we're going to do this. We're going to mobilize everybody, get everybody working on this. And then we would pray and ask God to bless it. Instead of trying to figure out where is God already working, let's get in line with where he's at. As I say, we can ask the question, what is God trying to do where our church is located in Bloomington? But more importantly, what's he doing in your area where your house is, where you live, where you spend your time? What's taking place there? You know, there might be something going on that you could be a part of. And in one place, there was churches were starting up a food bank and needed help. Other places, people are moved to do different things. You know, sometimes we just have to look where we have an interest as well. I talked to one man here recently who'd been a pastor for several years, and he said his church is very small. And he said, I just keep reading the Bible, and my heart keeps moved that Jesus helped so many people that were poor and that needed help, and he healed them, and he worked with them, and he had mercy on them. And he said, that just pulls on my heart, and that's what I'm going to be doing from now on. I'm going out and helping the poor in any way I can volunteer and help and do and serve. Other people aren't moved to do all of that all the time. There are people that very strongly feel like they're called to mission work and they want to go to other countries. Others like to reach out in their own local area because they feel like they have a call to be to evangelize. Some people have a gift of organizing and planning, and they volunteer in areas where they can use that gift. But wherever the Spirit of God lays on you, however it works, whether it's as a group or individually, when God is with us, great things can be done. The key is humility and staying close to God, to get to know him more deeply, prayer, reading our Bibles, talking to him, see his greatness, see that everything that he's doing and feeling his power upon us. And we begin to love God and love his people and to love humanity more deeply. And I think that's the hard part. We find it hard to see around people's sins. You know, God said he put all power of judgment in Jesus' name. That's something he says about Jesus. He'd given all judgment to Jesus. I think that's in the book of Hebrews. And then John tells us in John 3:17 that Jesus, or God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but to bring life. So he says, I'm giving him power to judge, but he's not going to judge and condemn. He's not condemning. He's bringing life. And we see somebody that's got a different lifestyle than ours that does some things that we might call sin, and yet they don't feel as that way. Do we criticize and condemn, or would we express love and welcome them? That's what Jesus did. I don't think he asked one person that he healed or helped if they were, you know, how's your Sabbath keeping? You know, are you a sinner? Have you repented? I don't think he worried about any of that. People were hurt and he helped. They were his people and he helped them. The whole world is our God's people. And we need to look at it that way. God loved us when we were enemies, it said. And maybe somebody you think, well, they're kind of enemies of the church or what we believe. Or doesn't matter. God loved us enough to die for us and for them. Do we have enough love in us to let the Spirit of Christ rest on us to love those people as well? To not condemn or criticize? That's God's job. Jesus is the one who will ultimately judge everything. But he says he came to this earth. God sent not his son to this world to condemn the world, but that the world might have life. And if we can help people to have life, just think what that would be. Christ's power resting upon us. What can it accomplish? What can it do in our lives? Let's pray. Almighty God in heaven, when your power rests upon us, we are more than what we are as human beings. We have you living in us. You raise us up to do more than we could ever do. When Moses was building the temple back, the tabernacle back out in the wilderness, it says the Spirit of God was on different ones, these carpenters and the people that made the curtains, the people that were craftsmen in gold and silver. And it says they worked at a level they'd never worked at before. And I think that's kind of what it is to be a Christian. When the Spirit of Christ rests upon you and is in you, you do way more than you could ever do with whatever talent you have. Paul was talented, could never have done what he did with Christ's Spirit resting upon him. People have great talents and abilities, and God's able to use those talents and abilities to do more than we could ever do as humans. Help us, Almighty God, experience your love for your people, humanity, and feel that Spirit resting upon us and feeling your love flowing into us and through us and out of us and living in us. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.